Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church family. It is wonderful to be with you here. Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers and those who act like fathers for others in their lives. We appreciate all that you do to make this world a better place. I also want to welcome our online worshipers with us this morning, and know that you are welcome, and we appreciate your being a part of this service in the way that you are. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired ordained deacon that serves here amongst all of you. And as you know, this is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a variety of ways. If you were around this weekend, hopefully you showed up at the rummage sale and found out we serve God by selling rummage. And boy, did we sell some rummage. It was a great couple of days, and if you weren't there, make sure you put it on your list for next year. We had leftovers, yes. We always have leftovers. Yeah. But you can't buy them now. They're packed up and ready to be donated. So, sorry. Connection cards were inside your bulletin when you came in. Please fill one of those out. Let us know that you're here. You can do a connection online, sign in online as well, if that's where you're at with us this morning in worship. Let us know what we can do to help you get involved in this congregation and all that goes on here. We also have prayer cards in the pew backs. They're bright yellow. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please know that this is a praying congregation and your prayers will be lifted by the clergy staff as well as our prayer group that meets once a week here at the church. Our worship leaders this morning are Bob Hemphill and Greg Geis. We got the choir here for their final performance before the summer. Woohoo! I don't know, they're ready for a break. I'm not ready for them to be gone yet. I like having them here. If you are interested in Sunday school, there is Sunday school this morning. You can head downstairs and be met by the teachers down there. I have a few announcements this morning, so hang tight. Fish and Loaves will be serving dinner in person for the first time since COVID today. Yeah, or next week, sorry, next week. And so we need volunteers to sign up for setup and serving, but we also need donations of salads. You can bring them next Sunday morning and put them downstairs in the kitchen refrigerator, and they will get there. So glad to have Fish and Loaves. There is a sign up. It was in the library. Mary Margaret, are you still holding it in your hand? You can see Mary Margaret if you want to sign up for Fish and Loaves in whatever capacity. We have a young adult group that meets here. I know they're still youth to me. I say, you know, John's the same age as my son, so it's really hard sometimes. They meet every Sunday. They will not be meeting this Sunday because they don't meet on holidays. But please invite anyone you know who would be interested in being a part of that group. We're going to include our new grads that we're going to celebrate later today. VBS registration is going on, as well as sign up for volunteers. The sooner you can sign up to volunteer, the better. That gives the organizers a chance to make sure that they've got everything covered and are ready for those children. You can be a part of a child's experience, maybe for the first time, to experience the love and grace of Jesus. So please support VBS in any way that you can. And finally, the Vena Golf Outing fundraiser is coming up. It's on July 15th, but Monday is the deadline for the early bird registration. So if those of you that are a little tight with your money and still want to donate to Vena and be a part of that, make sure you sign up today or first thing tomorrow morning so you can get in on the early bird special. Those are all my announcements for this morning, and so I'm going to ask that you please rise and join in our opening hymn. Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, who loves and forgives us, help us to be loving and forgiving. Lord God of mystery, help us to understand. Lord God, build in us a humble reverence for all your creation, so that we might be peacemakers amidst the chaos of our differences. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
From high school or college or really anything, actually, graduate school, who are interested in coming forward to be recognized, I want to just take a moment to congratulate you and to celebrate you. So would all the graduates who are here this morning who are willing to come forward, if you wouldn't mind joining me up here on the chancel, that would be great. As you guys make your way forward, let us celebrate them and their accomplishments. Awesome. So I just wanted to take a moment to give you guys a chance, if you guys are interested in sharing just where you're graduating from and just what might be next in terms of your own personal journeys, you can step up to the lectern mic and share that if you'd like. Go ahead, Ryan, lead us off.
All right, I'm graduating from Brighton High School, and I'm going to Michigan State University next year.
Amen. Congratulations.
My name is Colin. We're all graduating from Brighton, but I'm going to the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy next year.
My name's Kyle, also from Brighton, and I'm going to U of M next year.
My name is Josh. I'm also graduating from Brighton, and I'm going to Michigan State next year.
Amen. Well, we're so excited for you and your classmates who have completed this portion of your journey. I just want to invite the congregation to join me in a word of prayer as we bless these high school graduates for you and your journey. This I can guarantee you, if you share with us your college mailing address every time you're about to take finals, we will bless you with all of the snacks that you can possibly desire. There are folks who are just dying to, you know, send you all of the snacks that will keep you up into the long hours of the night so that you can study hard for your exams. I invite you, congregation, to join me in a word of prayer as we bless them in this next chapter of their life. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we celebrate this day. Our graduates, those who are here with us and those who are unable to be with us this day, we give thanks for the journey that they've been on to get to this moment, and we're so excited for the chapters of their lives that are yet to be written. We pray that you'd watch over them as they go off to college, and we pray that it would be a wonderful time for them to grow, to be stretched, to be challenged, for them to have opportunities to grow in their discipleship and their faith in you, in Jesus Christ. May we continue to be a blessing as a congregation in their lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Let us celebrate these graduates once more. Thanks so much, guys. Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations. Congratulations, Colin. Congratulations, Ryan. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, choir, Ryan, and Bill. That was really terrific. Our scripture reading today is from Romans 12, verses 9 through 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are going thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Bob, for reading the scripture this morning. I invite you to join me now in the time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to live in harmony with one another. Amen. So we're in the midst of this sermon series about the bumper stickers that we see in our world all around us. And this morning, I want to continue that sermon series by talking about a bumper sticker that it means a lot to me. And perhaps you've seen it around. I don't know if we have a picture of this on screen or not. Oh, we do. Okay, so this morning we're going to be talking about this bumper sticker Coexist, which actually this was not the original version of this particular bumper sticker. The original piece of art was actually created by a Polish graphic artist in the year 2000, and the original symbol actually, it did have the crescent moon, the C, and then it had the Star of David for the X, and then it had the Christian symbol, the cross for T. It just had those three world religions in the beginning, and if you can imagine this, this beautiful symbol that was meant actually for an art gala in Jerusalem to sort of celebrate the three Western religions getting along or having some peace in the world actually was stolen by some students at Indiana University, and they sort of developed it a little bit. They plagiarized, which is a word of caution to our high school graduates a little bit, and they started selling this particular symbol, making millions of dollars on bumper stickers, and it was made t-shirts that were selling for $68 all around the world. But the original symbol was developed as a challenge, actually, for the three Western religions to actually get along. And what a powerful message that is for us in our world today, as those three Western religions continue to fight violently in the Middle East. Nevertheless, as I reflected on this particular bumper sticker, in light of all the things that were happening in this world, I couldn't help but be taken up by the news coverage of what took place in a community that I pastored in just a couple of years before coming here to Brighton in Rochester Hills. If you didn't have a chance to catch the news just last night, there were kids playing in a splash pad in the community, a park that I had visited myself, that I had taken my kids to when they were super young. And unfortunately, a man pulled up and got out of his vehicle and fired over 28 bullets into a crowd of children, and eight people were struck, and some of them are continuing to be in critical condition. And I got to thinking about this message of coexistence, of living together in peace and harmony, of not repaying evil for evil, of transforming the world by repaying evil with kindness. These words that Paul used thousands of years ago continue to be a challenge for us to accept and adopt and live into today. It was heartbreaking for me because the mayor of Rochester Hills has been the mayor of Rochester Hills for 18 years. He and I know each other fairly well. We're connected on Facebook. We've done a couple of events together in Rochester Hills, and I watched him up at the podium, as we've seen far too often in our country, the sheriff of Oakland County, Mike Bouchard, who I also know, and the mayor of Rochester Hills, Mayor Brian Barnett, gave the press conference that we've seen over and over again in our society. We're so sorry. We never expected this to happen in our town. We're a peaceful community. We're supposed to be eating ice cream cones. And Mayor Brian Barnett got up there and he just had tears coming down his eyes as he described arriving on the scene where once again a four-year-old was shot in the head yesterday while playing at a splash pad. I'm sorry, I probably should have started this sermon by saying it's a bit of a trigger warning if there are kids who are in the congregation who didn't go to Sunday school. I apologize for the mature nature of the beginning of this sermon. And at the same time, violence has touched our lives over and over and over again. If you watch the news for another 15 minutes, you continue to see ongoing coverage of the G7 leaders who just gathered in a summit to talk about what they were going to do to continue to push aside Russian aggression in Ukraine. They continued to process how we would continue to handle the ongoing crisis and humanitarian crisis that's taking place in the Middle East. And perhaps this symbol of Muslim, Jewish, and Christian folks getting along in the world is more significant these days than perhaps it ever has been in most of our lifetimes, as there continues to be an extermination of Palestinian people in Israel and ongoing violence and aggression towards Israelis in a conflict that just seems to have gone on since the dawn of time. And yet we'll sit here, most of us, our hearts will sink, perhaps we'll post angry things on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we'll communicate our emotions with a broken heart emoji. Most of us will continue on our daily lives. Some of us, God bless you, will find your way to a golf course this afternoon. You'll strike the ball. It'll go 250 yards down a perfect fairway. You'll have a beautiful dinner with your family, and tomorrow the sun will rise again, and everything will continue as normal, and the next day somebody else will get shot in some other part of the country, and we'll continue to just go on as if nothing had happened. Friends, I've got to be honest, I have no idea how to solve the crises that take place in our world today. I admit that it's not enough to go out and buy a bumper sticker, perhaps like this one, or maybe something that looks just like it, and put it on the back of our car and drive around with our self-righteous selves saying, I did my part to end violence in the world. But the Apostle Paul gives us some instruction here. Some would argue that Romans is Paul's theological treatise. It's sort of his keystone project or his capstone project. It's like his treatise that he drops in the world that we all are inheritors of, where he espouses what it means to be Christian community. He pushes us to our highest ideals. And I love his writing in Romans. It's my favorite book in the Bible. It reminds us of what it means to love and to be loved by God, what it means to be to dwell truly and authentically in our place in the world as God's children and God's beloved. And he says, let your love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love this challenge. that you're almost in a competition with the people around you to do good. Us Methodists, we embody this with our whole heart. We're challenging ourselves to do what is good in our daily lives, to outdo one another. It's almost like we're in a race against one another to do the most good possible. We're challenging ourselves to be the best possible people. Contribute, he says, to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. In the press report that I stayed up too late to watch last night, the sheriff of Oakland County, Mike Bouchard, said that this individual was struggling with mental illness. All of us probably know folks who struggle with mental illness in our lives. And that's not to say that they're capable or incapable of committing some act of atrocity, but as I was reflecting once again on this particular scripture passage, when I thought about what it means to show hospitality and what a difference an act of hospitality can mean in somebody's life, I reflected on my own experience traveling to Israel. If you've ever been there, you can stand at the Western Wall, which was a historic part of the temple that was in Jerusalem. It was a place that people would complete a holy pilgrimage to go see so that they might be able to be in the presence of God on earth so that they could offer their prayers and their petitions to God. And I remember thinking, this is a incredibly holy place. It's a sacred place. It's a place where people's prayers are answered. If you've been there, you'd know that you can write your prayer on a small sheet of paper, and so many people from all around the world, from countries all around the world, take those pieces of paper and they stick it within the cracks of the Western Wall. When I was there, I remember being slightly off-put by the fact that that particular part of the world was literally like a tinderbox waiting to explode. You could feel the conflict and the tension in the air as people were walking around with semi-automatic weapons, which they were required to keep people safe in the mind's eye of Israel at that particular time. I don't know about you, but when folks are just walking around in places with semi-automatic weapons, it sort of puts me in anxiety. Anybody else with me on that? I mean, and I remember these folks walking around, and maybe you're a gun person, and this isn't, you know, intended, you know, to condemn or to throw you out entirely, but I just remember walking around, and there were all these folks walking around with guns, and I didn't remember feeling safe because they were there. I remember feeling like at any given moment, violence could break out in this land, because it had and has. And in fact, you know, the word Armageddon, the end of the world, the word that we oftentimes talk about when we think about what the end times will look like, is actually about a town in the country of Israel called Megiddo. And it's this place that had been conquered over 20 times in a relatively short period of time. And people just fought over this particular small patch of land over and over again. The city had been destroyed over 20 times, and there are relics and ruins. And essentially, our spiritual ancestors said, if the end of the world is coming, it's going to be over this gosh darn city right in the middle, Megiddo. We're just going to keep fighting over the same land over and over again. But I remember standing at the Western Wall with Jews and Christians and Muslims, and there was something beautiful about it, this mix of cultures, something that I deeply celebrate and cherish, something that I'm so thankful, and I always remind myself that diversity was God's plan, that we are created and that we are different and that we have different thoughts and different ideas. And thank God, because if the world was filled with me's, yeah, that would be a sad place to live. Sometimes a little easier. But I remember standing there and thinking that this is supposed to be a sacred spot, that this is holy ground, and yet this is a space that's been fought over for thousands of years. And you remember the story in Genesis where Cain kills Abel, and it's almost like the blood from your brother's death is crying up from the ground. There was a sense for me while standing in the city of Jerusalem at the Western Wall that the blood of all of the folks who have died in this land was crying up from the ground, demanding justice, demanding peace, demanding an end to violence. So Paul has a solution, because in our world, it's so common to basically play tennis with violence. You remember like Venus and Serena Williams, like the way that they used to hit the tennis ball. It wasn't just like, you know, click, click. You remember how they like the sounds, ah, right? The thing about violence is we oftentimes want to hit the ball back harder. Violence has this tendency to always escalate. There's this cycle that we get caught up in, and if somebody comes and punches us in the shoulder, we punch them in the face, and then the other person comes back and they draw a knife, and the next person comes back and they bring a gun to the knife fight, and the next person comes back and says, I'm not just going to harm you, but I'm going to harm you and your entire family. And violence has this tendency to escalate, and this is where the Apostle Paul offers us an exit ramp. He says, bless those who persecute you. Now, what kind of fun is that? To bless people who cause you harm. What kind of joy does it bring when you repay evil with kindness? He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Once again, high school graduates, I'm speaking mildly to you. No, you're brilliant. You have so much to teach us. Do not repay evil with evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Full stop. I know that this is hard. There are regularly people in our lives that we take great issue with. I wish I could tell you the things that have taken place throughout the course of even this last week, where folks in our lives may have attacked us or come after us or accused us of things that we had absolutely nothing to do with. They have accused us of evil. They've tarnished our name. They've written bad reviews on Google about us. Whatever the case may be, there are all kinds of reasons where we might find ourselves not able to live in harmony with one another. But this is Paul's encouragement to us. Don't be like them. Don't stoop to their level. Don't repay violence with violence. Vengeance is mine, says God. In other words, God will handle the judgment. It's not our responsibility to do that. Instead, Paul says, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. I don't know if you've ever done this to a sibling, for example. But when they're really upset with you, if you do something nice to them, it's amazing to watch how much it sets them off. And yet, this is the very thing that God calls us to do. I wonder what the world would look like if we all lived this way. If when violence was perpetrated against us, instead of escalating, we repaid violence with kindness. I wonder how many peace treaties would be signed instead of broken. I wonder how many lives would yet still be being written instead of being cut short early unnecessarily. I wonder what we could do with resources that we've committed to creating weapons of mass destructions if we were instead able to invest in some of the structure, in the infrastructure that our country so desperately needs. I dream of a future filled with hope. There are some days that I dream of burning coals, keeping somebody, my enemy's heads hot, just as the Apostle Paul says. I dream of a world where we do not repay evil with evil. I dream of a world where coexistence is a rule of life. I'm tired of watching the news coverage. And it's getting scarier and scarier for me when I start to recognize the faces of people who are standing up in those news conferences. And it's terrifying because my sister lives in the next suburb north of Rochester, and her 8-year-old and her 6-year-old and her 3-year-old very easily could have been playing at a splash pad yesterday on a hot early summer day after school let out. It's getting a little too close to home. I don't know what we can do to change the world, but Paul gives us some tools about how we might be able to transform people's lives one person at a time. I challenge you to coexist with somebody that you hate. I challenge you to find ways of building bridges instead of walls. I challenge you to not repay evil with evil. And perhaps my greatest challenge to you is this: in this season of elections and political divide and some of the great issues that face our nation, I hope that you can find a way to build a relationship with somebody with whom you completely disagree. I believe God calls us to be in relationship and with harmony with all people, no matter who they vote for or what party they associate with, what religion they practice, what ideas they may be believed to be true about the world. Paul's encouragement is to live in harmony with everyone, to never avenge evil with evil, to contribute to the needs of the saints, and let your love be genuine. Amen.
Good morning. Just to add to John's notes, we got home from a day at CAST yesterday, and we had a a text from our daughter who lives in Rochester Hills, and it was the article that John talked about. They had been at that splash pad just an hour before. They had left at 4 o'clock. So you talk about being blessed. That was one of them. And Father's Day, I love Father's Day, but it's not because of being blessed with honor, but honoring the blessing. And that's not to say that I don't enjoy getting a gift, because I do. In fact, one day, Lisa came inside and she says, come here, there's a gift for you. And I hadn't seen a delivery truck, no UPS, no FedEx, nothing like that. So I go where I think this box will be. Nothing. She says, come over, it's over here, come here. And, no, not there, it's over here. So it had to be one of those drone deliveries, you know, because I hadn't seen the truck. So I get over there, and she's standing on the sidewalk, and there is a package, but it's damaged. It's broke. It's a mess. It was a groundhog that was delivered by one of those turkey buzzards. I don't know what the message is there, but sometimes God does bring us gifts in strange ways. And today is an example of tying graduation day with Father's Day. It's such a perfect fit. And so glad that some of our graduates were here today. In fact, I have on commencement day, 1976, that was AD, not BC, for those of you that are looking at me too close. I received this book from the church that I attended. It's called Words of Wisdom. Don't look at this. Good dental health is appropriate also. But the Words of Wisdom, this book basically takes you through Psalms and Proverbs in 30 days. And I don't know that could offer much better wisdom to our graduates than to keep the Psalms and the Proverbs handy. And John, if you don't mind my adding to your political thing, I have a quote from John Wesley that I guess circulates around. Then I heard this in a message at another Methodist church a couple years ago. John Wesley on October 6th, 1774, I met those of our society who had votes in the ensuing election and advised them to vote without fee or reward for the person they judged most worthy, to speak no evil of the person they voted against, and to take care their spirits were not sharpened against those that voted on the other side. Good advice that John had also brought up for us to remember. We do have two prayer quilts. One is for Christy Bouchard, the other is for Chip Black. Please, at the end of the service, if you would, take time to say a prayer for them, tie a knot, sign the card if you haven't already done so, so that whenever they receive their quilts, that they can be wrapped in your prayers and think that of us that care for them. Won't you please join me now in prayer? Heavenly Father, the heavens declare your glory and the skies proclaim the work of your hands. Like a 12-year-old Jesus, let no one be surprised that we are in our Father's house. Lord, the U.S. made honoring mothers official in 1914 A.D. and honoring fathers official in 1972 A.D. Lord, long, long after you gave Moses the command for honoring fathers and mothers in 1445 B.C., help us encourage fathers to follow Paul's letter to the Romans and talk about them at home, so our children and their children learn to fear you, Lord, our God, and keep your commands. Let us consider our children as a great heritage from the Lord and a blessing to fathers. Lord, help us build our families with you watching over us so that we do not labor in vain. We lift up our fathers to you so they may walk by the Spirit and exhibit fruits by the Spirit, and not model discord, dissension, hatred, immorality, jealousy, rage, and selfish ambition. In this political season, let us see truthful witness saving lives, but false witness deceiving. Let us fear the Lord as the fountain of life, a secure fortress and refuge for our children. Lord, help our graduates put on your armor of truth, salvation, righteousness, and faith, so they can stand their ground against powers of this world and spiritual forces of evil. Lord, do we consider the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts, as we heard earlier from Psalm 19? Your laws are perfect. Forgive our hidden faults. Keep us from willful sin so it doesn't rule us. Hear us now, our silent prayers of confession, gratitude, and petition. Lord, thank you for showing us what is good, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Let us hear our Heavenly Father so we don't listen to the father of lies, who is without truth. Hear us now as we recite together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Invite the ushers to come forward to receive our offerings this morning. I just want to thank you for your generosity. And if you are a guest or a first-time visitor here, please know that your presence is gift enough. And so we are glad that you are with us, and we hope that something in the worship service touches you. We're going to be seeing a video, and then Suzanne Everett is going to be coming up and speaking to us about the Juneteenth celebration.
By the time Union soldiers rode into Galveston, Texas, to announce the end of slavery, 2.5 years had passed since the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. The message of freedom had failed to reach 250,000 enslaved black people. That is, until June 19, 1865, the date that marked the end of government-sanctioned slavery in America. And that would become known as Juneteenth. Through the years, Juneteenth has been commemorated, primarily by black Americans, with prayer events, families gathered around large meals and parades and festivals. Fast forward more than 150 years. In 2021, Juneteenth became a federal holiday in the United States, observing the day when news of emancipation was delivered in Galveston. But in the words of Opal Lee, a black woman from Fort Worth, Texas, who is largely responsible for the national holiday becoming a reality, "None of us are free until we're all free, and we aren't free yet." The struggle for equality and justice, true freedom, continues. Inequity persists. As United Methodists, we vow to accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. There is still much work for us to do. As we seek to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, we do so in this context of persistent injustice and oppression, then and now. The life-changing spirit behind Juneteenth is needed. Let us commit to ensure full freedom for all people.
Good morning. I'm Suzanne Everett. I'm one of the co-directors of the Church and Society Committee's Anti-Bias, Anti-Racism Project. This video serves as an introduction or a reminder to the now federal holiday of Juneteenth. Some people refer to Juneteenth as Freedom Day because it marks the day when enslaved people in Texas were finally released by federal troops who had to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation. Last week, I attended an event co-sponsored by the Farmington First AME Church and Narden Park United Methodist Church. It was a well-planned and attended event designed to bring together people of different backgrounds, including African Americans and white folks, and it created space for conversations about Juneteenth and what it means to celebrate freedom. And one of the things I want to add to the video, from my understanding, grew as we talked about it last week, that it wasn't just that Texas was so far away from Washington, where the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, is that they chose to ignore it. And so federal troops went in to enforce the freedom of enslaved people. So the Anti-Bias and Anti-Racism Project is working on several events and studies, and I want to invite you to be a part of those. So I just want to share with those things real quick. So we've created a video, and I had hoped that it would be playing in the community room today, and I'll see if I can make that happen without our technology genius, Gene Smith, today. So if that's available, we'll be playing that in the community room either this week or next week, and I'll make it available online. But this video shares our experiences on the Arc of Justice tour that we took last March. We visited four places in Detroit significant in the understanding of systemic racism and oppression. And our tour guides were very generous in sharing their lived experiences. Second, there will be a local observance of Juneteenth at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. That's the one over at the Mill Pond. It's a prayer service Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. We did not plan this event, but we are invited as part of the community and the Faith and Justice work group that formed under the auspices of the Livingston Diversity Council. Third thing I want to tell you about is I will be co-facilitating a study with the Faith and Justice group of the Livingston Diversity Council in July and August. It will be held here. It's called Just Faith, Faith and Racial Healing. There is more information about that on the church website. It's in your bulletin, and I'd be happy to talk to you more about that. In the fall, our project will be sharing our learnings about Native Americans and land acknowledgments, and there will be another study on growing our understanding of race and racism in January and February. So be on the lookout for those announcements as we get closer to those things. And now as we approach Juneteenth and shortly thereafter 4th of July, I want to invite you to consider for yourself what it means to celebrate freedom and how we can work together to make sure all of God's children are able to live freely as their authentic selves with the same rights and opportunities. Thanks be to God, and thanks for listening.
Lord, we bring our offerings to you today. Use these offerings to create ministries that will help us grow in a deeper understanding of you, the world around us, and how we should live. In your name we pray, amen.
Oh,
I didn't have a chance to share this, but in the back, one of our church members, Randy Clausen, was one of our delegates to annual conference this year. And if you don't know this, Randy wrote a piece of legislation for United Methodists across the state of Michigan to adopt, and we voted at conference to approve her amended legislation that calls for all United Methodists to call for peace in the Middle East. I just want to take a moment to say thank you, Randy, for your leadership and being a clairvoyant voice for peace in the world. Thank you for calling us to live in a coexistence. Thank you for calling us to the words of the Apostle Paul that we shared earlier, to not repay evil with evil, but to repay evil with kindness. Thank you for your leadership. I hope you'll take a moment and join me in thanking Randy for her leadership and calling for peace in the world. And to our graduates, we celebrate you. We're thankful for you, and we pray God's blessing on you in the next chapters of your life. We're grateful for your leadership in our midst, and we're grateful for all that God is doing in your life. For the fathers who are here today, I pray that you shoot hard and straight and that you are celebrated as you go out into the world. I pray that you're able to enjoy this beautiful day of celebration. As you go out into the world, I pray that you be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. What a challenge. What an opportunity. Go with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.